Isaiah chapter 40. You see, last week I was there, and now it's over here. So each week it changes, but how do you know to do that? I will tell you a few more things about the gentleness of God. There are two references to our Savior. I did not tell you about them. One is in Isaiah 40. Remember, I told you that not all of these words are the same in the Hebrew, but this particular word, the leading God, is a special form of that word. And so let's read it in Isaiah chapter 40 and look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come as a mighty one, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. You remember I told you that in the New Testament there are references to the Father, but in the Old Testament there are references to the Son. Now, let's see if any brother can think of another reference concerning the Son as typical gentleness or meekness or lowliness that we didn't read this morning. Any brother? Well, there's only one more. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. And then you'll hear, of course, Matthew chapter 21, verse 4. Now this has come to pass, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, let us know that our heart never tire of hearing about your Son. We think how thou hast told us in picture form that neither do you. You have insisted that every morning and every evening a lamb or a burnt offering be offered upon the altar, and the fragrance of that offering ascended to thee continually. We thank you, Father, that your desire is continually to be reminded of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and we will think of him as well. So from the portions that we've read about him and those that we anticipate concerning ourselves, bless them to our hearts, we pray. You know our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and plan, and give us an enjoyable time together, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. You see, the various ones who are types of the Lord Jesus, hardly any type is so perfect that we find no blemish in it. But of all things, to have a type of the Lord Jesus as the shepherd that cares tenderly and gently for the sheep, is pictured in Jacob, the shepherd. When his father-in-law was chiding him, Jacob was able to challenge him and tell of his faithfulness as a shepherd. Not one fault could be brought against him by Laban, his father-in-law. And that is a remarkable thing, because could his father-in-law have found an accusation, he would have, but there was none. And though Jesus in like manner, to challenge those that listen to him and ask, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" And if the disciples were asked, "In what way have I ever failed you?" The disciples would not be able to answer one word. He asked them a similar question. He said, "When I sent you forth without any provision, lacked you anything?" And they said, "Nothing." And in like manner, another reference in Zechariah speaks about, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." And the Lord Jesus told them about that, told them what to do after this hour of darkness. The Lord Jesus said, This is your hour, and the power of darkness. He told them what would happen. That he told them that he would meet them, he would strengthen them, all would be well. So here's a picture of the Lord Jesus, and in the context, it's not what he does when he's on earth, but it's what he's going to do when he comes back and establishes his kingdom. But what he did when he was first on earth will be carried out extensively and fully when he comes back a second time and establishes his kingdom on earth. Here is our Savior as a shepherd who holds the young man in his arms, his bosom. And you remember how the Lord Jesus, I told you this morning, when the parents brought the children to the Lord Jesus to be blessed, and the disciples would run them away, the Lord Jesus said, "You bring them to me." And he held them in his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and he prayed for them. That is a profound thing. I pray for you to think that the Lord Jesus would have a child brought to him, and he would hold that child and place his hands upon that child and pray for the child. That is the tenderness, the gentleness of the Lord Jesus, and that is his desire for all men to be saved. This is Christ as the gentle one, the meek one, the lowly one. There was always an insistence that what our Savior was by nature would be violated. His brothers told him in John chapter 7, "Go up to Jerusalem and manifest yourself." The Lord Jesus said, "It's not time for me to go up. You go up." It said his brethren did not believe in him. Who is it that wants to be made known but remain in hiding? Go up and manifest yourself. The Lord Jesus had ways to manifest himself. And his meek and quiet and lowly and gentle spirit would never be violated. And so when he comes in, if he were like a ruler of the earth, he would choose the mightiest, most pretentious looking horse, war steed, to ride upon. The Lord Jesus sent him and he said, "You go and get me this animal and you bring it to me." And so you have a mother and her colt, and the Lord Jesus is riding upon that colt. And you say, there's nothing glorious about that. And that is how the Lord Jesus wanted it, because he presented himself to them meek, riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. So the Lord Jesus is determined to manifest his true character to the world. He would not be influenced by his brothers. He would not be influenced by Satan, who said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." The Lord Jesus was determined to do what his Father wanted him to do. And if you and I, as God's children, could be that way, what does God want us to be? All of these things that were found in his Son. It says in Peter that we should follow his steps, because God has left us an example. So when it comes to firmness for what is right, but at the same time, meekness, lowliness, gentleness, that is what we're to be well. And look at this. Turn to Ephesians 4, first of all. This is a verse that was on the wall at the assembly that commended me. That assembly burned down, but I can remember it. When I was there, it was an assembly like this one was at the first. You know the painting in there, just a little place? Why, this is a magnificent auditorium. I remember that when that little anteroom out there, that was the main auditorium. Well, in like manner, when we had a place in Raleigh like that, a little one, it had this verse on the wall. So look at Ephesians 4, verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also for Christ's sake forgave you." Now, these words should melt the heart of any Christian that has anger in his heart. And at times, The preference has its seat in that room, and that verse is over their head. And yet, the verse was saying one thing, and they were behaving in another. And I would have been tempted at times to say, brethren, one moment, let me read you a verse of Scripture. There it was. Just as other places I've gone, and when sinners could come, for God so loved the world, for by grace are you saved through faith, and they would say, what must I do to be saved? The message was all around. For that message was perfect, and here again, God places it before us. Why should I forgive you? It says, as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. And what is the reason? You say it was grace. So that is the basis. I'm just bringing these verses to your attention. Turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. And look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The word moderation is that same word in the original that is translated gentleness, gentle, elsewhere. And so God says, let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Tell me, Paul, who longed so very much, those that had loved his appearing, you think that Paul, when in Acts 15, he and Barnabas had a sharp contention, you think that he would want the Lord to be at hand, taking it with the coming of the Lord? It says that we are to manifest our gentleness toward all men. The Lord is at hand. And there was a sharp contention between them, and the Lord comes. That would be a time when, and now my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so it says, our moderation, our gentleness, our kindness is to be manifest toward all men. And remember, the Lord is at hand. One more, James 3. Turn to James chapter 3. One of these portions, like gentleness, meekness, lowliness, is found in all of these portions. So listen to this passage of Scripture. It speaks about two kinds of wisdom. Verse 15, 3:15 of James. This wisdom is not the wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, good mercy, and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. Do you have wisdom? Consider the way you behave, your reactions, your dealing with problems. And if it does not fit the description that you've read here, then it's not a wisdom that is from above. But it says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. So our Savior is gentle and meek and lowly, and by His grace,